that the wisdom of the prudent. You know where wisdom comes from? If any of you lack wisdom, the Bible said, let him ask of God, who giveth all liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith. You know, in the day we live in, if we're not careful, we don't really believe what we're asking, and we don't really believe what the answer is. I want to be able to believe not only what I'm asking, but whatever God's going to do about it, so forth and on. You know, over there in the book of Psalms, chapter number 37, the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You can tell where a man that's a good man is, a child of God is because he's busy walking with God, and his steps have been ordered by the Lord. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, is that the Bible said the prudent man is the one that walks in wisdom. And he says that he's got wisdom and he's got understanding. He knows who he is, where he's at, why he's saved, and where he's walking. He knows the right direction, and he knows the fact that he's not been deceived by the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, let me tell you something right now. Is that the most ignorant thing you'll find on the face of this earth is a Baptist.
Yes, sir.
It shouldn't be. No, it should not be. It should be one of these others. You ever notice how smart the Jehovah's Witness, even though they're liars and cheaters and connivers, you ever notice that? And what they do is that they train themselves and train their little constituents that are coming along. We've been listening to good Bible preaching for most of our lives.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you, I've had some real preachers in days gone by that preach heaven real and hell hot, and make no mistake about it. Whenever you got through listening, if you absorbed any of it, you knew more than the average Baptist preacher did. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that those who do not, they are in deceit. Look in verse 8 again. The wisdom of the prudent is understanding his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Somehow or another, we've gotten to where we just come together to get out instead of coming to get in. Fact is, if we're not careful, everybody but Miss Faye will be wanting to enjoy that short but sweet. She knows the difference. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, look over there in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. In chapter 22, in about verse number 3, if I've gotten it right. And the Bible said that it, when you look into it, that a prudent man, verse 3, foreseeth the evil, and he hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. I got to tell you something right now. When you begin to look into that passage right there, here's somebody that can look farther than the end of their nose. You know, the average Baptist, they can see about the end of their nose. That's as far as they can see. The prudent man, the Bible said, foreseeth what's coming, foreseeth evil. And then the Bible said over there, it's repeated in chapter 27, and it's about verse number 12. I want you to watch that. Chapter 27 and about verse 12. And the Bible said, when you look into it, that a prudent man foreseeth the evil, and look, and hideth himself. But the simple pass on, and they're punished. I want to tell you something, is that we're talking about people that are prudent in the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, walking with God, not in deceit, but hiding themselves from evil that's going to be coming. Now, I want you to notice something in this lesson. I said to you, the average person can't see beyond the end of their nose, and that's the truth of the matter. In fact, as you'll find, is that we live in a nation. Remember, it used to be called one nation under God. And it said on the currency, in God we trust. I used to see some of them people when I was a kid growing up, and they had it in their store, the little old store you could buy something, and they had it on there, and God we trust, all others pay cash. Somebody wasn't paying their bill. And you know what they'd do, don't you? They'd come in there, and I'd say, my word, I started me a little old account. He said, don't do me like some of these people here, and he pulled it out, and then he had stacks of those little old books about that wide. You folded it over and wrote down. And he had stacks of them. And I said, my word, you got that much stuff out on a credit? Yeah, he said, you'll find out there's a certain amount of people, once they get into you for a little bit, they'll go shopping somewhere else and charge you, keep from having to pay you. I got to say to you that, if you will, that one nation under God. Do you know how many people are running now? There's been two or three of them dropped out, but there's 13 in the Republican Party that are wanting to run for president. One of them is named Ramaswamy. You know what I'm talking about? His first name with a V, but Ramaswamy. In fact, Brother Rice and I and Sister Rice and the wife, we were sitting there and we were talking about that. And he said, how do you say that name? I said, Ramaswamy. I said, you know, I sort of like that old song, Way Down Upon the Swanee River. That's how I remember it. Now it's way down upon the Ramaswamy River. See? And we had a good time with that. Now let me tell you something about Mr. Ramaswamy, one of the 13 that's running. I'm not for him whatsoever, not because that he's a person of color, because he's a Hindu. Do you think for one minute that one nation under God, namely the United States of America, that was founded by our forefathers and that believed in one true and living God, he's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. There's not another name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved except by the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You think a Hindu is going to care about Jesus Christ? And the other 12's not going to either. You know, every time I see Mr. Pence, I get completely, if I'm happy, I get depressed just looking at him. See? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, we're talking about being prudent. Do you know that in the cabinets and in the higher of the White House, there's a whole ton of Muslims that are there? Now, how in the name of God is he going to bless this nation with false gods that are in office? I want to say that when you begin to look into it, is that the only way to heaven? Never has been, never will be, but one way. And it's in a person. His name's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this Bible passage that we've been looking at, you'll find the prudent man foreseeth evil. I see it coming. I hope that God will be merciful and give us a little grace. But I can tell you right now, buddy, it's finally going to come to a close. There's a passage over there, you ain't got to turn there, but in 2 Chronicles in chapter number 12, verse 14, there's a man by the name of Rehoboam that was the king of Israel. Remember him? And you'll find out is that the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14, as that, and because he did evil, Rehoboam did evil, and here's why, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. You know, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you know why you're not? You've not prepared your heart to receive the word of the Lord. You've not prepared your heart to believe God. In the book of 2 Chronicles in chapter number 20, verse number 33, there's a fellow by the name of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And the Bible talked about what he'd done, some of the good things that he'd done, so forth and on. But the Bible said that the people had not prepared their hearts. Now, it wasn't the man, it's the people. And the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. Now, I'm going to tell you is that it's hard to lead a nation. Even if you had a man that wanted to follow God, this nation don't want to. Oh, I know there's an elect group according to the foreknowledge of the Lord and so forth and on. But let me tell you, for the most part, this world that we're living in, they're not going to be led to believe what God said. Over the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, you don't have to turn there either, but in chapter number 11 and about verse number 7, that Bible said that by faith Noah, you know what? By faith Noah, he listened to what the Lord, being warned of God, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Do you realize, though, that if you're here tonight and you're unprepared, it's nobody's fault but your own? Can you remember when you prepared your heart to seek God? Remember when you used to come and you listened to preaching, but it didn't make any difference who was preaching as long as the touch of God was on it, and then all of a sudden, man, God was knocking on your heart's door, and you can remember the day when your heart was prepared to believe God and receive him in the free pardon of sin. I want to say to you that on the one hand, here's what the Bible says. Take no thought of what you shall eat or what you shall drink or wherewithal you shall be clothed. And we are to go and speak the word of the Lord and so forth and on, be faithful unto the things of God. On the one hand, it says that a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things that he possesseth. Yes, sir. On the other hand, he tells us about being prudent. and about foreseeing where we're going and what we're doing and what the outcome is going to be. Now, let me say to you, over in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter number 5 and about verse number 8, the Bible said, if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he's denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. In this lesson that we're looking at, I want to tell you what I've seen across the country. I'll not call his name. Number one, I couldn't remember it. But even if the one that I can remember, I'm not going to call his name either. But I've watched preachers across this country spend and be spent and give their life trying to serve the Lord and starving nearly about to death. I knew an old man that had an old LTD Ford, wore out, wouldn't hardly run, died, left his wife living in a parsonage. You know, the biggest concern the church had, how are we going to get that preacher's wife out of that parsonage? Now, I'm going to tell you, that's not the church's fault. That preacher there, somehow or another, shouldn't have been dragging his feet. You've got to be prepared to know someday it's going to come to an end. You're going to die. I'm going to die. And by the way, let me say to you that, if you will, is that all these boys and girls, you know, they go to, oh, if you let me buy me a car, I'll buy the gas. Let me tell you, the gas is the cheapest thing you can put in a vehicle. If you run it very far, it ain't going to be long, you're going to have no car. And do you know the reason, Pete? It's because it'll use up. And if you're not prepared to get another one, you're going to be afoot trying to beg somebody somewhere to help me get another car. It hadn't been very long ago, and of course, Brother Philippi and his wife, Miss Audra, their car, the engine went out. And then they ended up coming out pretty good. We're trying to find another one that barely runs just like they used to have. We can finally blow the motor up and sell them for that much, you'll come out. But you know, every time it does that way. So I'm not talking about that, but I'm just trying to talk about the reality of life. I got to say to you, I remember one time years ago, this fine couple right here, y'all were there. And there was a man got up over there, and we were in Hempstead. And there was a man got up that was from Temple. And son, he just raked everybody over the coals and beat us over the head. And anybody that had life insurance didn't believe God, wasn't trusting God. He just knew God was going to come again. 2 or 3 weeks later, he died. And the pastor that hosted that was sending out letters begging churches to help pay for what he had just got through ignorantly condemning. Man, oh man. You see what I'm telling you? Yes, I got to say to you that, if you will, is that if something happens that you're unprepared when you leave this world, I'll try to help take care of it. Maybe a sheet I have to roll you up in and put you in the ground, put you in a hole. But anyhow, we'll preach quick because the body goes to turning black and blue and so forth and on. That's quiet now. Oh, yeah. Right. The prudent man foreseeth the evil that's coming. Yeah. See? On the one hand, we've got to trust God every step of the way. But let me tell you, on the other hand, we've got to be wise. And you better be harmless as doves and wise as serpents. You see what I'm telling you? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, make no mistake about it. We live in a world that's unaware. You think that bunch over there in San Francisco that's camped out, you know, and up and down in all them tents, you think they're prepared? No. You think the city, and of course the city was a sanctuary city. Remember that? New York, there's nothing I like better. You know, I found something I like better than watching Gunsmoke reruns. And that's watching that Negro mayor up in New York begging the president to give them some more money because they can't handle the crisis that was caused by the United States Biden government. Well, for a long time, they blamed it on Texas and blamed it on Arizona and blamed it on the border towns. And they didn't mind us taking it. But oh, now that the tables have turned, I want to say in close, and I'll be done, is that don't spend your life walking around with the head in the sand just believing and taking a shot in the dark. Listen, God's given us His Word. God's given us the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us and direct us into all the truth. His Word is the truth. And if you'll do that, God will make a way for you, and your life will be more enjoyable, and it'll be a whole lot easier to be able to exalt and magnify the Lord for how good God's been in spite of what we've done and who we are. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of the Word tonight. We do thank you. We're praying, Lord, as earnestly as we know how, for the Baker family. We're praying for them. We're praying for Brother Joe's uncle. We're praying for the Dawson family. We're praying for Brother Rice and his family. Lord, we praise you and thank you for these other requests. Now, Lord, I pray you'd be with Brother Matt and Miss Caitlin. And Lord, may we have a speedy recovery, a good, safe delivery. We'll say thank you in advance for that. In Jesus' name we pray.